Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you that you saw fit to save us, Lord, and to use us for your glory, dear Heavenly Father, and that you've given us a platform that we can, an edifice, a place where we can invite people and where we can share the good news of Jesus Christ, that all might be saved. Lord, with all that's within me and with all that I have, let the name of Jesus be lifted up, that lives are changed, minds are challenged, and souls are saved to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. 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 She was just singing. They're singing a song about how awesome God is, how mighty God is. So what we're going to do, we're going to go right to the text. We're going to go right to the text, and then I'll do the background right after we go right to the text, because it goes right with what they were just singing, y'all. Turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew. If you don't have a Bible, there should be a pew Bible in front of you. We use the King James Bible, a faithful translation. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, and it reads, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. Today we're going to talk about, "And he shall save us from our sins." And he shall save us from our sins. Growing up, there was this, used to watch a lot of variety shows, and mostly Ed Sullivan and people like that, watch a lot of variety shows. And there was a comedian slash singer slash just a personality kind of guy, and his name was Jimmy Durante. Anybody remember Jimmy Durante? Am I giving away my age? Well, here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you what Jimmy Durante was known for doing. Something would be going on. Like I said, he was a singer. And something would be going on, and he had this phrase that he would interrupt everything with. And this is kind of how it went. I'm going to read the text, and I'm going to read it as though I was Jimmy Durante. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now, Jimmy Durante at this point would do something like this. He'd say, "Stop the music. Stop the music. Just stop the music right here, because we got something here that you ain't been paying attention to. Stop the music." See, we read that scripture. We read that scripture and we're like, "Oh, he shall save his people from their sins." Oh, okay, that's nice. That's nice. But see, this is the start of the Christmas message, y'all. This is the pivotal point. This is the This is the crux of the Christian message of Christmas. He shall save us from our sins. Whoa! Don't let that just zip by you. He shall save us from our sins. See, this is why Christmas gets me excited, because I got a day already set aside. I didn't even have to come up with it. It's a day already set aside where people get together, they decorate their trees, and they put out their lights, and they give presents, and they have a big old doodah happy time, and some of them don't even know why. But guess what? Those of us who do, let us let them know this is because this is the day that celebrates that he came to save us from our sins. See, they don't know, especially if they're still sinners themselves. I mean, when I talk about sinners, I'm talking about people who are unrepentant, have never called upon the name of Jesus Christ. They don't even know why they're doing the Christmas tree, y'all. But you read through the scriptures, there's a lot of people who did a lot of things. Even the prophets didn't know the whole story. So let us not get upset that somebody is over-decorating their house or putting too many trees. That's not the issue. You're missing the point. The point is, right now, their mind is kind of focused on Christmas. And guess what? That gives you an open opportunity. You could talk, you could stop them in the mall. Boy, isn't Christmas season wonderful? Yeah, you could be talking to the most God-hating heathen, but he loved Christmas because he liked getting stuff. And then you can tell him about the most precious gift. You get to tell him, y'all. This is the day that God chose. Now, we don't know what day Jesus Christ was born on. For goodness sake, don't get caught up in that. But I know he was born. And I know it was on one day out of 365 days in the year. So we have chosen this day. The Christian world, not just America, the Christian world has chosen this day to celebrate the birth of that child, this miraculous occurrence at the fullness of time, to where God says, now is the time. Now is the time that I'm going to send a child, and he shall save his people from their sins. Sin. You can't see it. You can't touch it. You can't even explain sin. Sin is the most illogical thing ever. It's called in the Bible the mystery of iniquity. Because you're like, well, what would make a man step out on his wife when she's done everything she could, been as righteous as she could? What would make him do it? Sin. What would make a woman turn her back on her own children and take up some ne'er-do-well man or turn to drugs and alcohol? What would can you tell me what would cause it, y'all? Sin. What would make a man created in the image of God in the Garden of Eden, perfection, everything he ever wanted and everything he ever needed and then some, what would make this man disobey his creator? Give me some logic behind it, y'all. It's the mystery of iniquity. It's called sin. And that's why I get excited about Christmas, because he says, I'm sending my son to what? To set us free from our sins. The effect of sin. You can't see it, you can't touch it, but you know it's there. In fact, you have personally, anybody over 21, you have been in situations, I guarantee you, where you walked into a room or into a situation and you could feel the evil in the room. The evil was palpable in the room. Sin. Darkness, evil. And he says in this scripture, he says, and he shall save us from our sins. I get excited because when he says he's going to save me from my sins, he goes, take a look at the effects. Take a look at the carnage. Look at the heartbreak of sin. Look at the tears. Look at the crying that sin brings into people's lives. And then receive the good news when he tells you, he says, you know what? When he takes away all your sins, he says, ultimately, I'm going to take you to a place in called heaven. Take you to a place called heaven. And he said, you know what? There's going to be no more tears, no more crying. You know why there's going to be no more tears, no more crying? Because there's no more sin. He said, and I've come, Christmas, the day that we celebrated. He said, I've come, I've sent my son to take away your sins. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. How did we get here in the first place? How did we get into this mess where sin is just having a field day with us, y'all? Sin has a field day in the church and out of the church. How did we get to this situation? Romans chapter 5, verse 12. He says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We'd like to think of ourselves as maybe we kind of missed the mark a little bit. We have no clue. We have no clue when we talk about the fall in the Garden of Eden. We have no clue that it wasn't a trip. It wasn't I stumbled. No, we went to the bottom, y'all. I know that's not happy, 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 happy preaching. But if you read the rest of the story, it is happy, 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 happy preaching. Because until you know how no good we are, you won't understand how good God is. When you do home renovations, sometimes the guy comes over and they take a look. I worked on a lot of restaurants. And sometimes they go and they look at a restaurant. They just purchased the property and all this stuff. And they look at a restaurant and they say, well, this one, we're going to remodel. We're going to gut the kitchen. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Then some of them, they look at them and they say, it's hopeless. We're going to level it. Start all over again. What did Jesus say to Nicodemus? You must be born again. The first time out the chute didn't work. You must be born again. Well, wait a minute, God, isn't there something good in me? Isn't there something good in me worth redeeming? No. Understand, there's a term that we use in the word of in the theological field. It's called total depravity. Total depravity. Total depravity is a doctrine that people, especially in the Western world, that's just too much for me to take in. I mean, look, I'm a nice person. I'm a nice person. I do good things. Don't tell me that I'm totally depraved. Don't tell me there's nothing good in me. I won't tell you, but God will tell you. God will tell you there is nothing good in us. See, when we look at salvation, we look at it from the wrong direction. Okay. We look at, since Jesus died for me, I must really be worth something. That's the wrong direction. I'm sorry to tell you that, but that's just not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that because I was so far gone, it took the blood of the Lamb. You hear me? It took that much to save me. Not that I had any good, but that God is good. And he's a loving God. And so that's why if we start preaching and teaching it the opposite direction, that there's something in me that's worth saving, then that makes his word vain. That makes his word null and void. And I know, y'all, I want to look in the mirror, too, and say, oh, what a wonderful guy. But a few years back, it's been a while now, I stopped lying to myself. I understand I'm a sinner in need of salvation. I'm in need of the power of God's Holy Spirit. And if there's any good in me, it's God. It's God and God alone. Otherwise, what does he tell you? He says, otherwise, I'm going to boast. He says, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself. Look, seems like God knew something about our personality. He said, because if you thought you brought anything to the table, man, I don't know how you got in, but I'm a nice guy. God said, you're going to want to get up in heaven and boast. You're going to want to get up in heaven and tell everybody how you got over. He says, the only thing that will be, you want to know why the angels say all day long, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Because when you're in heaven, I think that's the limit of my vocabulary. Because once I get to see Jesus, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Oh, Lord, how could you do a wretch like me? You gave up your life for a wretch. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. That's what we do when we really understand how bad sin is. Let me take you on back. Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. This way you're going to understand the fall. This way you're going to understand the fall a little bit better. We get it line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. But I want my heart's desire is a Good Shepherd Baptist Church becomes a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, believing and serving church. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Let's see where we were at. Let's see where we were at before the fall. And God said, I'm reading verse 26 in King James Bible. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. This is where we were at before the fall, y'all. Before the fall, God had given us dominion over everything. There was no sin, there was no death, there was no crying, there was no hurt. God said after he created, he said, everything is good. And not only is everything good, but I put man over everything. Now, sin has crept in. One of the first things is we scared of everything. We scared of crickets. We scared of snakes. We scared of spiders. And if we can't find a spider or a snake, we find a boogeyman. We find something to be scared of. Whereas God, before sin came in, there's no fear. No fear. We had dominion over everything. I'm always saying to my wife, it's just a cricket. Well, you kill it. You got dominion. You kill it. But look at us in our lives, y'all. We run low on money. We get scared. We get some bad health. We get scared. We get some some friction on the job, we get scared. You know why I like Christmas? Because he said, I'm going to send my son, and he shall save us from sin. What makes me scared, y'all? God said, I don't give you a spirit of fear. What? Then why am I so scared? Sin. Let me show you what else sin did. God had given us dominion, but now there's a new sheriff in town. His name's called Death. Turn your Bibles over to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. And I'm just going to give you a few. I'm going to read a few. I'm going to give you the number and you just write it down. Genesis chapter 5, verse 5. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Verse 7. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years. And he died. Verse 11. And all the days of Enos were 905 years. And he died. Verse 17. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years. And he died. And all the days of Jared were 962 years. And he died. And then we get to the longest living man in the history of the world, Methuselah. Verse 27. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years. And he died. That's what sin got us, y'all. That's what sin got us, y'all. That's the evidence of sin. See, since people die every day, we kind of almost take it for granted that there was a time that it didn't exist. There was a place and time in the history of the world when it did not exist. Sickness did not exist. Didn't exist, y'all. But oh, let us praise God. Because what does he say there? In Matthew verse 1 and 21, he said, he shall save us from our sins. No more sickness. No more crying. No more death. We'll be in the land of the living, y'all, instead of the land of the dying. That's why I like Christmas. Because that's just the start of the story, y'all. That's why I want to take the opportunity to tell everybody about it. Like, even if they don't know why they're decorating, you just tell them. Let them know the good news of Jesus Christ. Let them know that the penalty has been paid for their sins too. And that opening for eternal life, it's there for them too. God is no respecter of persons. He died for all. I don't care where they're at. They could be in China. They could be in the Middle East. They could be in Russia. You know, because we have a tendency to say, well, you know, these people, they got their own special thing. No! He died so that all might have an opportunity to eternal life. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. And he did it starting with the day that we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. We call it Christmas. He said in Matthew, he said, and she shall bring forth a son, and that shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He says that she shall bring forth a son. This is a special kind of birth, y'all. the angel is talking to Joseph. And if you notice in Scripture, the Bible never refers to Joseph as the father of Jesus. They refer to him as the husband of Mary, because he's not the father of Jesus. Amen. So it says that she shall, this is going to be a special kind of birth. See, because God wants us to know something special took place on what we call Christmas Day. This wasn't just any, there's a whole bunch of babies born on Christmas Day across the world. But only one came forth of a woman by herself. And the Bible says the angel spoke to Joseph, because Joseph is, you know, Joseph is betrothed to her. This is his bride. He's supposed to be getting married to her. And all of a sudden, here she is. She's found with child. And Joseph said, we've never been together. But the Holy Spirit said, let me tell you what's going on. That holy thing inside of her is the Son of God. And look at the obedience and the trust and the faith of Joseph and Mary. He says, she's going to bring forth a child. And not everybody else. You, sir, are going to name him. And you're going to name him Jesus. And that name means Savior. Save from what? Save from sin. He has come to save us from our sins. Understand, that's his first purpose, y'all. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. And once he seeks you and saves you, you cannot be lost again. And why would I say that? Because if you could be lost again, then Jesus is guilty of false advertising. Because he said, I come to save you. Ain't that what he said? Amen. Now, either he saves you or he don't. Amen. Jesus don't do false advertising, y'all. I got a good God. I got a mighty God. If he even tried to lie, he can't do it. Because the Bible said, God said he can't lie. He said, I lie not. That's why we look at this verse. And that's why we see when he says he's going to save his people from their sin. And look, it's a specific promise. When he says his people, he's talking about those who love him and are called according to his purpose. This is not karma, y'all. This is not karma. Well, you know what goes around comes around. Shut up. This is grace. This is mercy. This is not giving me what I deserve. This is mercy in the first degree. You ask any former slave, ask a former slave, what do you need most? Now, you're still a slave. Let's say he's a slave right now. What do you need most? Want me to give you a more comfortable bed? No. How about some better food? Wouldn't that do you a lot of good? I mean, you know, if I can give you some better food, but slave would look at you and say, no. What about if I fix the leaks in the roof and make your little hut a little bit better? Is that your greatest need? Is that what you need the most? No. You know what? That's what a lot of folks are preaching. A lot of folks are preaching that what you need more is a little bit more money. What you need more is a little bit more good health. What you need more is a little bit nicer house. Those are all wonderful things, y'all. But what you really need, what any slave really needs and really wants, is to be set free. Don't make me comfortable and I'm still your slave. I want to be free. Matthew 1:21. For he shall save his people from their sins. And see, he said, when he says their sins, he said, you've been toting that one around yourself for a long time. Yeah, it's mine. It's mine. Everybody got their own, but because it says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He says, so you got your own personal stuff that you've been hanging on to, holding on. And he says, I have come to save you, to deliver you from that bondage. When he talks about saving them from sins, the first thing you have to understand about sin
is sin has three phases. You hear this frequently, but we're going to go into it a little bit more. Sin, as God deals with it, the first thing he does, he delivers you from the penalty of sin. The penalty for sin, like me and my brother were talking about here during our little skit earlier, you're very hard-pressed to find anybody who doesn't believe in heaven. And you're very hard-pressed to find anybody who doesn't believe in heaven who doesn't think he's going there. And he thinks he's going there because he's a nice person. The Bible says that Jesus came to save us from the penalty of sin. Here's the penalty of sin. The penalty of sin is eternal separation from God and eternal damnation. You hear that? The penalty for sin is eternal separation from God and eternal damnation in a place called hell. Now, a lot of people don't believe that. They really don't. They just flat out reject that. And they say a loving God would never send anybody to hell. Understand, brothers and sisters, a loving God never sends anybody to hell. You have to volunteer to go to hell. You have to walk over church after church after church after Christian after Christian after Christian after Bible after Bible after Bible. You have to go over all kinds of hurdles. And finally, you got to finally account the blood of Jesus as nothing. That's what you got to do to go to hell. You got to put out some effort to go to hell. Because every time somebody tried to witness to you, you got to tell them, shut up. Every time there was a man who put billboards. We used to drive back and forth to Ohio every year. And there was a place in Tennessee, close to where Adrian Rogers' church was, but it wasn't from his church. And some gentleman, some farmer, he had put up a series of about four or five billboards. And each one said, repent, repent, accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You drive about two more miles, you see this billboard, repent. You see this billboard, repent. I got to see the guy of all places. Now, you know, this is a long time ago, of all places on 60 Minutes. They had him on 60 Minutes. And they said, because people had been calling in and writing in, and they said, so we need to talk to this man. And they said, you put these billboards up, and this, you know, this is causing a lot of conversation. Why did you do it? The old boy just looked at him. He said, well, I figure there's a lot of folks on that highway on their way to hell. He said, so I want to make sure that they knew you got to pass all these hurdles to go to hell. Because I'm going to tell them about Jesus. Can we get that mindset, y'all? Can we adopt that mindset and make it part of who we are and the warp and fiber of our lives? Can we get to the point to where when every situation we see is an opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus? Can we get? I know some of you are already there. Some of you and some of us have. Some of the folks here have made incredible gains. But guess what? We can all do better, y'all. We just got to be focused on giving folks the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm talking to the young and the old. You kids, you teenage kids, you school-age kids, you got friends that don't know Jesus. You have friends who don't know Jesus. And you keep saying, oh, they got time. Who told you that? Who told you that? Give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. God saves us from the penalty of hell the moment we accept Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes God brings trouble into our lives. Sometimes. When you see the children of Israel, see now, you're going to talk about some disobedient people. We'll get to us later. We'll talk about them now. You want to see some disobedient people. God put them in Egypt in bondage for 400 years, y'all. But that wasn't hell. That was separation, but that was an eternal damnation. And guess what? After a period of time, it took them some time because they was hard-headed. They about as bad as us Baptists. They're hard-headed, hard people. And God put them under a hard taskmaster. Some of us right now, like the weight of living, it's got us. Well, finally, see, the Bible says, I give you these folks for examples so you know how not to sin. Finally, take a look at the children of Israel. And you'll see them on several occasions. I'm going to give you this one, but you'll see them on several occasions where finally the pressure gets so hard that the Bible says they cry out. They say, Lord, help me. I can't take it anymore. Lord, help me. And guess what? Even though they're separated from God, God said, I heard that cry. He said, I know my children when they cry. He said, I couldn't pull them out until they cried out. Many of us, we just been tamping, you know, we've been tamping down sin. It's like trying to bury a rubber tire. You put a rubber tire in the ground, it's going to come back up. That's why they won't let you take them to the landfill. It'll come right back up. But once you decide to do something about it, about that sin that keeps cropping up, when you cry out, you may have been apart from God. You may have broken your fellowship with God, but you cannot break your relationship with God. If you're out of fellowship with him right now, cry out to him. Say, Lord, help. Say, Lord, I got some stuff that I've been keeping in my mind, and I'm trying to do best I can according to what I think and how I feel, but I need you. I need you to take it, Lord. He says, we have that penalty for sin. Next, we talk about the power of sin. Sin, and he came to save us from the penalty, the power, and the presence of sin. He goes, I'm taking care of this on Christmas Day. We celebrate the fact that God is taking care of this, the most major of issues in our life, sin in our lives. He says, the power of sin, this evidence that sin is reigning and ruling in your lives. He said, I'll get rid of that. You want to know how other people know that God has done a work in you? I'll tell you how other people know that God has stepped into your life and done a miraculous work in you. Because for the first time in your life, you do supernatural stuff. Wait a minute, which supernatural? You do supernatural stuff. Case in point, Paul and Silas in the jailhouse. The Bible says after midnight, somewhere around midnight. Paul and Silas, they're in jail and they're praying and they're praising and they're singing and they're just having a hallelujah good time. And the Bible says that all of a sudden, right about midnight, bam, the doors open up. Now, I don't know about y'all, but in my unregenerate days, sound like a jailbreak to me. I'm out of here. But when Jesus get a hold to your life, you do supernatural stuff because you already know you're saved, sanctified, set apart. You do supernatural stuff. Paul and Silas, the doors are open. Now, they already been beat, y'all. What more are they going to do to you if they keep you in here? But here's what the supernatural regenerated man does. He sits there and he keep on singing. And the Bible says that the Philippian jailer came running in, trembling, shaking in fear, because he knew that if those boys weren't in that jailhouse, what they were going to do him was what they were getting ready to do to the prisoners. And the Bible says he was just about to take his own life.
Some folks know what I'm talking about. Things look so hopeless. Things look so hopeless. You say, Lord, why not just end it? Why not just bring it all to a screeching halt right now? And Paul said, don't do it. Don't do it. I know what it looks like. Paul said, I know what it looks like. But you don't know the scriptures or the power of God. He said, we're all here. He said, every man present and accounted for. We're right here, bro. Don't do no harm. Supernatural stuff. See, when saints, when heathens see supernatural stuff in your life, when they see supernatural stuff in my life, it doesn't work on them, y'all. But if we're always going alone to get along, we just watch them go on their way to hell. And then say, well, you know, I didn't think you'd ever get saved anyhow. No. No. Paul and Silas could have packed up. They could have led the biggest jailbreak in the history of the Bible. And they didn't. Because they had a love and a concern for that man. And what's the Bible tell you? His family got saved. He got saved and his family got saved. Why? Because they saw a supernatural move in the man of God. Once, and that's all because on Christmas Day, the day that we celebrate, because God said, I'm going to save them from their sins. And he took away that penalty of sin. And then he took away the power of sin. I'm no longer a slave to sin, y'all. You, if you have named the name of Jesus Christ, if you have believed that Jesus Christ came, he died, and he rose from the dead paying for your sins. If you have believed on the name of Jesus Christ, I know how it looks. I know how despair. The Bible even speaks of despair and depression. But he says, don't forget, you got a Savior. What did Paul say? Do yourself no harm. Do yourself no harm. It looks bad, but I read the rest of the story. We got the victory, y'all. We got the victory. If this is such a good message, if this is such a wonderful message, why didn't the Jews accept it, y'all? It came to them in the book of Matthew. It came to them. If this is such a wonderful message about delivering me from the penalty of sin and delivering me from the power of sin, why don't the Jews accept it? They don't accept it for the same reason a lot of folks today, Jew and Gentile, don't accept it. Because Jesus didn't come the way they wanted him to come. You know, folks decide they create God in their image. Wrong. God created us in his image. We don't see when you create God in your image, that's called idolatry. You might as well just make yourself a little statue and bow down to it and tote it with you every place you go because he can't follow you. The Jews, when they heard this message, and they heard it first, y'all, because they're God's chosen. They're not better than other people, but they're God's chosen. And they have definitely got a place in God's work to where he says, we need to give them the gospel. We need to be concerned about giving them the gospel. Some folks preach, well, you know, they're okay. They got their own little special deal with God. Their special deal with God is believe on the name of Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. But they didn't want a babe in a manger. They wanted a Moses. They wanted somebody who's going to come and stand up to Pharaoh and deliver them from out of this evil, evil place and take no prisoners. Let me walk across the Red Sea on dry ground. They like that. And if you ain't going to give me a Moses, give me a Joshua. Give me a great warrior. Give me a man who ain't scared of nothing. Y'all know the story when Joshua... I just love it. When Joshua saw the angel of the Lord, can you imagine that? Joshua saw the angel of the Lord sitting there. And Joshua walked up to him ready to draw down on him. I said, man, this boy is bad. This boy ain't scared of nothing. He getting ready to draw down on the angel of the Lord. You talk about a man who ain't scared of nothing. And the angel of the Lord said, take your shoes off, boy.
Takes you on holy ground. You don't know who you're messing with. You're on holy ground. Joshua's a warrior, but he wasn't no dummy. Took his shoes off and asked, whose side you on? And the angel of the Lord told him, you better find out whose side you on. Y'all hear me, church? We need to know whose side we're on. We need to be able to tell our friends and our neighbors whose side they need to be on. You have to come to a conclusion that either the Bible is right and true or throw your Bible away. Don't sit and tell people, well, it might be, it could be, start equivocating on everything. No, it's either true or it's not. Well, you know, preacher, there's a lot of different interpretations of the Bible. No. There's one interpretation of the Bible. It's true. There's one interpretation of the Bible. There's many applications of the Bible. But the Bible says what the Bible says. It's the way it is, y'all. And how you know how I know that? You know how come I know Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by him? Because he staked his life on it. He staked his life on it. The Jews wanted a Moses. They wanted a Joshua. Or they wanted an Elijah. They wanted somebody to come and call fire down from heaven. If you're going to send me a Savior, let him do something demonstrative. But instead, God chose the child. He chose a child in a manger, a barn, if you will, a stable. He came and he stayed and he was born in the lowest estate that he could possibly be born in. Because there's no room at the inn. The people with influence, the people with money, the people with whatever all they had. There's no room for Jesus. We got to make, on this day, for Christmas, talk it up. Speak it up. Make it a big deal so that your friends and my friends will make some room in their heart to receive the gospel message. Tell them, it's not deep, y'all. It's not hard. The Bible says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And he says, and you shall be saved. That's good news, church. That's good news. And it's not deep. And if you love him, stand on it. Speak it and stand on it. Last thing I'm going to talk about is just let you know that we talked about the penalty for sin. That birth took care of that. We talked about the power of sin, and that birth took care of that. And the last thing that birth did, it took care of the very presence of sin. He says, because one day you're going to be delivered from this whole situation. He says, we talk about the law of causality. I talk about the law of causality where it says, for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. My supernatural God, on this day that we celebrate, this Christmas day, the day that he sent us a baby, he said, with this baby, with the birth of this baby, I have taken care of the penalty of sin, the power of sin, and I will ultimately deliver you from the presence of sin. Well, God, how does that work? The Bible says that everybody has sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody has sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, the law of causality says that, you know, if everything is equal and opposite, we're still in our sins. But God. See, God is not. See, the law of causality is a law of nature. We serve the God of nature, the creator of nature. He's not bound by nature. In Romans chapter 5, verse 20 reads, part B, but where sin abounded, grace did much more. So all of my sin and all of your sin should have canceled out God's work, except for we serve a supernatural God. And the Bible says that grace, unspeakable grace, abounded above all your sin and above all my sin. Today, just think about what he said in Matthew. Just think about how he said, on this day that we call Christmas, God said, I am doing the most important thing that could ever occur in the history of the world. I am fulfilling my promise, and I'm sending you a Savior for your sins. He'll take away your sins. The only question is, will you accept the free gift of salvation? Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. He said, and if you will accept that, God promised you shall be saved. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. Celebrate that Christmas. Jump and shout about that Christmas. Let folks know this is the special time of year. And this is why we do what we do.